Good evening to you. I invite you to open up your Bibles to James chapter 1. In the section in which we find ourselves tonight, we see the focus on the primacy and the centrality of the Word of God in the life of the believer. James is telling us is if you're going to have a productive Christian life, if you're going to make it through trials and tribulations, through temptations, your life must be centered on and founded on the Word of God. And so with that in mind, we're going to be reading just as verses 22 through 25. Hear now God's Word. It's meant for our instruction. And it's meant to make us do. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he's like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The reading of God's word, may he bless it to us. Let's pray. Father, having heard your word, now being encouraged to do, we pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts, that our hearts would be ready to receive, and that we'd be willing and ready to change by your Spirit and through the power of the resurrected King and Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, this is the central theme of this particular part of James's letter, centers around the Word of God. In verse 18, it tells us that God's word brought us forth. It brought us forth into life. And also the word of God is to be listened to attentively, to be heard, to not be spoken, not to become angry. And not only is that word to be heard, it's to be received and taken in, thought about, contemplated. Because, as it says in verse 21, it's able to save your soul. But here in this particular passage we read tonight, James doesn't stop there. In fact, you cannot stop there. For if you stop there, as James says, you are practicing self-deception. So what the Lord is telling us to do tonight, what he's telling you tonight, is to be a doer of the word. It's simple. Simple point. You are to be a doer of the word. It's a simple yet profound point. But, may I say, it's pretty difficult. It's difficult. See, when we come into worship, when we hear God's word, you need to take what you have heard and you need to be ready to put it into practice. Take what the scriptures teach concerning how you are to think, how you're to speak, and how you're to act. And you're going to put those into action. That's what the Lord is calling us to do tonight. And James does not state this as a question or as a suggestion. No, he speaks in an imperative. You are to be a doer of the word, to perform what God's word says. And you don't need a seminary education. You don't need to be a saint who's been around for a long time to understand this. All you need to hear or do is hear the word of God, receive it, and act upon it. What you really need is a heart that's ready and willing to obey what you have heard. Many of you have become good listeners. You're attentive when the word of God is preached to you. You've developed good Christian habits of reading your Bible daily. And the vast number of you have a deep knowledge of what the Scriptures teach. And that's for that very reason that James says this, I think. So he speaks in this way. He says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. We're good at hearing. But the question is, are we good at doing? And I believe this is a great danger for us in the church today. Let me illustrate this pretty simply. Who here, it's their first year of college? Okay? And you know, at the first year of college, the first couple weeks can be quite overwhelming. Yeah, you guys were pretty ginger at raising your hands. It can be overwhelming, can it? I'm guessing some of the details of your week and your semester are now coming into focus. You don't have to worry about where your class is or what time it starts or what building and room number in that building. Those things that seemed like a big deal maybe a week and a half ago now don't seem that big of a deal. You have them in that proper perspective. You know the building for each class. You know how long it takes to walk between each building. You understand how you can fit lunch or dinner into your busy schedule. You squeeze it in. You know a lot more now than you did before. Well, the same thing happened for me. It didn't take me long to learn in my first year of college where I was supposed to go. And in fact, I started off as a math education major, and I had a calculus class that started at 7:50 in the morning, 5 days a week. 7:50 at 5 days a week. Well, you see, I knew that the class was then. I knew I needed to be there to learn what the class was teaching. See, knowing was the easy part. It was doing that was much more of a challenge. I was a history political science major by the end. See, your relationship with God's word with respect to doing is what I believe is the most difficult. And it's where we often fail. It's where we often fail. Doing is where we break down that relationship with God's word and with God himself. And in order for us to understand this more fully, James moves into an illustration. He breaks it down for us both in the negative and the positive. He shows what a hearer looks like only, one who hears only, and one who hears the word of God and does what the word of God requires of him. So let's look at the hearer only, verses 22 and 24, through 24. And as I preached just a few weeks ago, I want you to understand that hearing is important. Hearing is important, and that's why James, in the preceding three verses, makes that very obvious. But hearing is only part of the equation. And you may be thinking, as I talk about this topic tonight, that I may be advocating for some type of legalism. That I'm saying by keeping the commands of God, you deserve or earn some type of standing before him. And by default, forsaking the grace of God. May that never be. And as for James, as he told us previously, it was by the sovereign will of God that he has saved you. And he did this by the means of implanting that word of God in you. And given that reality, James then moves us forward. What are we to do now? Remember the story of the people of God in the Old Testament, right here at the beginning of it, as God's people are about to be delivered from slavery in Egypt. God did this by many signs and wonders. He saved them. He took them out of bondage. But what did he do next? He took them into the wilderness. And what did he do? He gave them his law. He said, now as my people, people who are called by my name, this is how you're to live. This is how you're to act. This is how you're supposed to think. This is how you're supposed to understand who I am. He teaches them how, as the redeemed people of God, how they're to do. And James is saying to think and believe differently is to deceive yourself. As he says there, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James doesn't want us to be self-deceived. For deception is from the evil one. For if you hear the word and you're not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. James says that a hearer only is like a man who looks himself in front of that mirror. He takes a good hard look. He looks intently at himself. He studies. He contemplates. And he sees himself. I'm guessing most of you looked in a mirror sometime today. Well, at least some of you. And when you looked in that mirror, what did you see? It's not a trick question. You saw yourself. You saw yourself. Some of you gaze a little longer than others. My guess is that when you were looking in the mirror, you were looking to see if things were as if they ought to be. If the clothes you intended to wear fit like they should. Made sure you didn't have any toothpaste on your mouth. See, we all have this ideal of what we look like. And we have this in our mind. But when we're challenged, when we look in the mirror, for the mirror reveals the truth. Reveals the truth of who we are. And I think what James is saying is, when you look in the mirror, you see the real you. So I'm guessing this is how it went down for you this morning. When you looked in the mirror, you found something wrong and out of place, and you said, well, too bad. And then you just walked away. That's exactly what James is saying happens when you hear the word of God, when you hear it preached, when you read it, when you take it in, and you don't do what it commands. You're like a man or woman who looks in the mirror. You see the problem. You see the inconsistency. And yet, you make no change. You forget what you've seen, both in yourself and what God requires of you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, is this you? Daily, you read the scriptures, and yet you don't change. Weekly, you hear the word preached, and yet you don't change. There's no change. It's so important to ask, how am I to think differently? How am I to speak differently? How am I to act differently in the context of what I've heard? How am I to change? So don't be a hearer only. Rather, be a hearer who acts. So let's look at verse 25. A hearer and a doer. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The one who looks in the mirror, or looks into the word of God, looks into the scriptures, the law of liberty, and does not forget, seeks to do, that man, that woman is self-aware. They don't forget. You notice how James transitions from the use of the word. Up to this point, he refers to the word, but here he transitions to the word of law, the word law. And how does James refer to the law? He refers to it as the perfect law, the law of liberty. The doer looks into the law. And what does he see? He sees liberty. He sees freedom. And us who are Americans, well, probably all of us, seeing law as liberating can be something difficult to grasp. It is confusing, for we think that freedom and liberty, we think of the absence of law. For in our minds, we can think laws are oppressive. And yes, there are some laws that are oppressive. We think that laws keep me from doing what I want to do. I want to express myself in this way or that. And this law, you know what? It prevents me from doing that. We seem to believe that the law is oppressive. It's opposed to liberty. And I don't want you to understand that the scriptures do teach you are free. You are free from the restrictions and commandments of man. This was Jesus' great charge of the Pharisees. Do you remember? He said the Pharisees, they bound up people and they set rules and practices of their own making, saying, if you do this, this is godliness. All the while, they forsook the weighty matters of the law. So Christian, you are free. You're free from the teaching and the commandments of man. But don't let that be confused with the freedom being free from the commands of God. For biblical liberty is not liberty from God's law. Rather, God's law is liberty. James is telling us that law, God's law is liberty. God's law is not something that you need to be freed from, as if the commands of God are holding you back from doing what you think you were created to be. I hope you see and hear how ludicrous that sounds. Yet it's often the way that we live our lives. We think God's law is holding us back. And that's why James here is quite clear. God's law is perfect. It's perfect. And it's a law of liberty, and it sets you free. Brothers and sisters, what you need is freedom. What you need freedom from is not God's law. Rather, what you need freedom from is sin. And it's bondage over you. Your problem is not God's law. Your problem is your sin. And sin is slavery. When you continue in sin, that's slavery. Sin is captivity. Sin, as John described it in 1 John, it said, is lawlessness. As we just preached through the book of Judges and now in Ruth, everyone does what's right in their own eyes. It's lawlessness. And often we get this backwards in our society, in our churches, broadly speaking. When you think you are most free when you're free from God. Peter warned against this in 2 Peter. He talks about these teachers, these false teachers who promise things. He said they boast of folly. They entice by sensual passions of the flesh. They promise them freedom. But they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. But it wasn't only Peter. It was Jesus who said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Unless you think this is a new problem, it's been around since the beginning. Remember Adam and Eve? They thought they could be like God. They could decide what was right in their own eyes. I could do what I want. And they ate that fruit, and they fell into the slavery of sin, which leads to death. They believed Satan's temptation. Were they free? Were they free? No. They were exiled from the garden. Work became hard. Childbirth became hard. Relationships became hard. Sin led to bondage. And it's the same for you and it's the same for me. But in Jesus Christ, you have been set free from the slavery of sin. In the gospel, You're set free by the grace of God. And now you can walk and live according to the will of God. The gospel is freedom and liberty. It gives you the freedom and liberty to live the way God intended you to live. So don't be self-deceived. Sin is bondage, and God's law is liberty. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." This freedom is yours in Christ, to sin no longer, to live to righteousness, because you are sons and daughters of the God Most High. You were once sons of Adam, set for destruction, but now you're the sons of God. And you are Christ's workmanship, created in Him for what? For good works, to do the word of God. Now James is saying, go, do in light of the gospel. And he says, do this and persevere in doing this in verse 25. Continue doing what God commands. James not saying be perfect, not speaking of perfection. But the call is for you to press on despite your failures, despite the pressures, despite the obstacles, to press on despite the pressures, to press on despite the consequences, to press on towards the prize for which Christ has called you heavenward. For in pressing on, as James tells us, there's great blessing. Great blessing. Look at the end of verse 25. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Blessed is the man who does what the word of God requires. Oftentimes, when we're making a decision whether we should do A or B, we list out pros and cons, negatives and positives. James is saying, when it comes to obeying God's word, when contemplating what to do, what God requires of you through His word, there should be no list. For when you follow God's word and His commandments, there's only blessing. There's only spiritual blessing for you when you follow what God tells you to do. Yes, there might be a cost. There might be a cost for following after Christ. You may be ridiculed. You may lose your job. You may miss out on all the fun. You may even lose your life. But it's worth it. It's worth it. For there's unsurpassed joy and blessing when you're a doer of the word. It far outweighs the pleasures of sin in this world, the ridicules of this world. So, people of God, be hearers and doers of the word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we know that you're calling us by your word to listen to it, to hear it, to take it in, and to be doers of it. And we'd be prideful to think we could do this on our own. So, God, we need your spirit. We need the Spirit of Christ to work in our hearts, to strengthen us, to give us the resolve to continue on, to press on in perseverance, and see that ultimate blessing of being with you in eternity. Give us the strength we ask in Christ. Amen.